the animal.
Supernatural goal from Lionel Messi.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cut off his line, and Brazil take the lead. Oh, how about that?
Shaqiri, here is Shaqiri. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes!
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Quanta, Reliant, Rice University, and Visit Sugarland.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Messi resets, Messi driving in, Messi crossing back, Paul Darinez, Lautaro Martinez, stoppage time, go ahead, goal for Argentina.
Well, if you did not think he was the GOAT before, well, you will now. Messi drives the comeback against England today in the semifinals. It'll be Spain and Argentina on Sunday for the World Cup. And we're going to dig deep into this one. 713-780-3776. Want to get your take on this game. And also the Spain-France game. I am still coming down from this. And honestly, I want these phone lines lit up here tonight because I need to get the opinion of everybody else. I've got a lot to say, but honestly, I want to hear more from you than me. So these phone lines are open for you. What we're going to do is we're going to talk England and Argentina. We're going to talk the Argentine comeback. I'm going to just say this right off the top, and I want people to remember this. With all the success Argentina's having, with all the success, do not forget, 2014 Brazil, Lionel Messi was getting blamed for everything. Blamed for everything. Almost quit the national team. Threatened to quit the national team, by the way. Don't forget, when Scaloni got the job, he got destroyed by the Argentine press. The manager who now is looking to guide them to two straight World Cups, if they can get past Spain. So just remember some of these benchmarks. I will tell you another thing. Argentine players would have died today to win. It's just incredible. So I'm going to go through this, but I'm going to show you, and I think we all know, there was a huge mistake made today by England. So let's start it off. 713-780-3776. Let's get your phone calls. A couple of things stand out. Messi with the two assists. He leads them back. They come back again. Late show again. These guys never stop. It's pretty incredible. It's the first half where people just kind of kicked each other. There was a total of 19 fouls, 12 to Argentina, 7 to England. It was kind of like a feeling out process. Let's just get a lot of this excess energy out. I think we kind of knew there would be a war in the first half for sure. And then we would get the game's first goal. And in the game's first goal, you got... let's see, that came in what, the 37th, I think? Wait, when did the first goal call come? Anyway, it's Morgan Rogers, and he picks out Gordon for the opening goal. So it's the 55th minute. Sorry, it was the second half. What am I saying? 55th minute. And then way too quickly, England decide to go deep in defending. They go into a low block. Now you're inviting Argentina in. Game was a wild start, clutching, grabbing tackles, very territorial, a lot of it in the middle third, maybe a little more in the Argentine half. You know, the definition of a foul in the first half is difficult. Ismael Elfath, the referee, doesn't want to give a bunch of yellow cards out because he knows if he does, he's going to be in a position in the second half where he's going to have to get, you know, maybe send somebody off. So it's a really tough game to be a referee. It was an American crew. I think they did an exceptional job. And Ismael Elfath is from, and people know him in Major League Soccer, he's from Austin. Imagine being in your hotel room the night before that game, knowing you have to officiate this game. Talk about player pressure. Well, referee has it too. There was a moment in the 37th minute where Messi got surrounded by three guys. Harry Kane came in really hard on him, and Messi escaped three guys. It was Kane, Spence, and Anderson, but didn't do much in the first half. Nobody did. There was a 39th minute warning shot from Enzo Fernandez. Now, we all know Enzo Fernandez has power. In the second half, he was whizzing balls off very close to the crossbar, just over the bar. He kept getting closer and closer from long range. England kept defending deeper and deeper and weren't getting out to him. And I'm sitting at home on my couch going, he's got to score. And, of course, Messi finds him. And he scores from outside the 18. That ties the game. And then moments later, you get this piece of brilliance from Messi, who pulled himself out on the right on purpose to get out of the cluster and the chaos of everybody condensed in the middle. So wisely, he pulls himself out on the right. Well, he goes to his right, not cutting in on his left, but goes to his right for the game-winning assist. And it's an absolutely remarkable piece of delivery. It's a fantastic finish. And it's just really, really, again, amazing what they do. Amazing. I don't even know what else to say. England at times had six across the back, five a lot of the time, six. Lautaro Martinez comes on in the 80th. Enzo Fernandez obviously gets that goal. I would say that like the fourth time was a charm for him. And, you know, Pickford came up with a huge save in the 69th. And then Messi pulls wide right, whips in the delivery. It's greatest of all time. I don't think there's any question. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. That's even above Maradona. It's just remarkable what this man and this team did. And I know there's all the conspiracy theorists out there. And I can guarantee you that, you know, the loyalties were divided at this game. There's a lot of English fans there. A lot of English fans. 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts on the game here today. Do you say Thomas Tuchel blew it? I mean, just goes to show you, great managers can make mistakes, and big mistakes. And I thought that was just a huge mistake. You went to it too early to drop off and defend deep. Besides, Argentina's the type of team that can play and is schooled in playing against thick defending, deep defending teams. I mean, the amount of crosses and delivery that they got in before they equalized. I mean, McAllister had a wide open header and puts it off the post. The amount of it was just insanely crazy. All right, let's go. I made the point that Enzo Fernandez was coming close from long range. Nobody was getting out to him. Well, you know what? Let's go in chronological order here. Let's start off with the England goal that got them up. This would be in the beginning of the second half.
Rodgers, the target, tracking it over his shoulder. Acrobatic clearance from Taliafico, but job not done as it was held in by Rice. Rodgers' chance to cross, hooks it, and it's Gordon! It's Anthony Gordon who puts England in front early in the second half of the semifinal.
Yeah, so Gordon is going to go on his way to Barcelona. Kai Osaka didn't come in till late in this game, I believe. So He didn't get the start. It was Morgan Rogers who got the delivery in for that goal. And England thought they were going to defend it until Lionel Messi sets up Enzo Fernandez. And here is the equalizing goal.
Messi on Spence, trying to find space for that left foot into the middle. Enzo Fernandez!
Some pretty intense acoustics there. I was watching on Telemundo. So you can only imagine Andreas Cantor, who's Argentine. I was always taught you're not allowed to show your loyalties during broadcasts. Well, I got news for you. That script is out the window now. You can do whatever you want on these broadcasts now. You can cheerlead.
Yeah, so you're saying did Andreas Cantor give an extra goal when Argentina scored that he did for England?
Well, let's just leave it this way. I know Andreas, and Andreas is a very proud Argentine, so he loved the comeback. Let's just say that. He's a huge Argentina fan. He's a huge Messi fan. And the passion for this country, I have to say, you know, when they go out to play, they will die to win these games. And I mean, I'm not saying other people aren't competitive. But if you've watched Argentina, the way their fans are, the way they are as a country, have to remember these are not dual nationals. These are all guys that were born in Argentina, which is very different than most of the teams in the World Cup, right? Like Morocco, 23 out of 26 guys, they're born in France, Belgium, Italy, wherever, Europe, right? And part of the way that national teams build now is to go around the world and find top-notch players that are playing in
like,
other leagues.
Like Balogun, right?
I mean,
he was born here, but...
Yeah, but he spent the majority of... Yeah, and Sergiño Dest, I mean, we have dual nationals also. No question. And that's a good example. But I do think there's something, I don't know, that bonds and binds these guys a little bit more. And there's always, and I say this respectfully, and this is what makes soccer great, you know, Europe always likes to think it's the king of soccer. South America likes to think it's the king of soccer, right? So, you know, this is the type of final you got now. And this leads to great, great competition. This also leads to what I would say is healthy dislike for each other. Healthy. Healthy. Or maybe it even goes beyond healthy. Let's be honest. That's the way it is. But the whole world plays this game, and the whole world wants to be the best at it. And I think that's another thing we have to understand here in the United States, and our media needs to really get up on this stuff because you're way behind. You can slam the U.S. for a poor performance. You can say stupid things like it set the sport back 100 years. You also have to understand that there's three other traditional sports, and I'm not making any excuses because I was very disappointed in that game. The only thing we know that came out of that was Balogun said on an interview show that the whole reversal of his situation affected the team. Okay, I guess. I mean, I wish we were a little bit stronger than that mentally, but if it affected the team, at least he gave an answer as to maybe why it happened because that was a mess. And when Belgium stepped higher up the field, I think that surprised the U.S. too. It was like somebody put something in their drinking water. It was the most bizarre performance because the United States up to that point, the one thing you didn't think they were going to lose was being competitive, right? They were lively, energetic, competitive. Now, they did play against a bunch of teams that allowed them to have the ball and were deeper defending teams. So this was the first time they really got approached higher up the field. Rudy Garcia, you got to give credit, the head coach of Belgium, said, you know what, we're going to press them higher, we're going to try to disrupt them, we're going to try and put them under pressure and see if they're going to be able to handle it. That's great coaching. It's great managing. So give him a lot of credit. But back to this, this was something. This was another, I mean, we just got two semifinals for the ages. I mean, honestly, that just slow, comfortable, I don't want to use the word kill. So it was just a slow, comfortable extermination of France. And everybody, including me, we all thought France might have the edge due to some of the individuals and that they would get opportunities at some point. And they were just like a giant python getting wrapped around an animal. Just squeezed the life out of them to the point where they had their brains pretty much shut down. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't handle it. So this is going to be an amazing final. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the final segment. Brian, you want to run the should we run Thomas Tuchel? Here's what Tuchel said after the game. Now, again, I think Tuchel made sometimes – I mean, who am I to be questioning all these guys, right? But I will say I think Tuchel made a huge mistake in dropping England off way too early to defend and try to win a game 1-0 against Argentina and Lionel Messi.
It's tough right now because obviously it hurts, but do you feel in the tournament England did hit the heights you thought they could?
No, it's not the question now for that. I'm sorry. I just went out of a semi-final and what are you asking? Questioning the tournament now? Or we played in altitude, we played with 10 men, we played the hottest game of the tournament. We gave everything and it wasn't enough today.
How proud are you then of what your players did achieve and how they played?
I am proud, of course, of my team, and I saw what they put in, and the input at the moment is difficult to feel that because we just have had a big loss, and we all hate to lose, so we need to digest it first. So the overall feeling is at the moment we're disappointed, and we're disappointed. Need to digest it.
Good for him. I still think he dropped him off too early. It's easy for all of us out here. No question, though. I think you can't drop that deep that quick. Not against that team. Especially after seeing what they've done in the tournament and how they're, you know, scored 3 goals in 11 minutes at the end of a game against Egypt. Pretty amazing. Hey, Echo's Live Music Bar. It's at 900 Richmond Avenue near the intersection of Montrose and Richmond. They serve up Greek and Mexican-inspired food and cocktails. You can watch the World Cup final there. They do global music down there. Brazilian jazz nights, Turkish funk, Viet pop, DJs, Greek and Nigerian nights. 900 Richmond Avenue near the intersection of Montrose and Richmond next to the Shell station. It's Echo's Live Music Bar. Also, big, big thank you to Senate Avenue Brewing. We had a great show up there last night. Brian was up there. We noshed a little bit. Great craft beer. We had a nice turnout, huh? That was a fun night.
Always great time at Senate Avenue.
Yeah. We had a really good
spot.
Yeah, and we got the sound was exquisite. Everything worked out great. We had a lot of real soccer fans up there. Andrew Mitchum came on the show, and if you want to hear the podcast of that show, it's ESPN975.com, Spotify, or Apple. But if you are a business person and you want to hear from somebody who invested in soccer and it's paid off, and he has data in this interview, take a listen to Andrew Mitchum of Senate Avenue Brewing from our show last night, because soccer's not going away. There's going to be a lot of business that you're going to want to do with the sport of soccer. We got multi-millions of fans here in Houston. They spend money. You got to get in the soccer game now, and there's a lot of ways you can do it in a lot of different ways and at a lot of different levels. All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back. Destination 2026, Houston's countdown to the Cup. It is brought to you by Aramco, Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Reliant, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Rice. Cactus Music says take a listen to Led Zeppelin.
This is ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Quanta, Reliant, Rice University, and Visit Sugarland.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, I love this song. Right now, England's not happy. Mick Jagger's not happy. He was at the game. What do you think of all the celebrity sightings at the game, Brian? You like that part of it?
I mean, it doesn't do anything for me personally, but it's got to be good for the game. If those people are posting on social media, hey, I'm at, you know, whatever game they're at, I think that brings exposure.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt.
What about the guy I Show Speed?
I know of him because of his work at WWE, but I didn't know he was at the game.
So
apparently he's got a sponsorship with Fox or some sort of deal.
Oh, he must have been signed for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think he was signed for the World Cup.
Because he's got so many followers. So I'm in the TV compound at the, I guess it's the, trying to think where I parked for the games when I called the games here in Houston, the World Cup games. Okay, so we were parking on probably, I guess it was the north side of the stadium. And so I'm in the TV compound, and there's, you know, lots of offices and things, you know, the TV trucks, all that. It's a big compound, takes a lot to obviously put it all together. It's huge. It's got areas to, you know, go have coffee and sit in break rooms for everybody who are working on the production side, et cetera, et cetera. So I was down there getting some coffee, and you know, that guy comes in all of a sudden, and he's got, like, his car is allowed to drive straight into the compound. He's got, like, handlers around him. You know, it's pretty incredible. And it's, I mean, as long as you got the numbers.
Yeah,
you're going to get hired.
I get it.
You're going to get hired. That's the way it works now. And
yeah, he brings a lot of eyeballs to the product. Same reason WWE uses them.
Yeah, so it's kind of what it is. And no matter what happens, if he gets in a confrontation with a fan or anything like that cameras are rolling. So these are things they just splice out and they keep throwing out. I don't know what it says about us and what we consume personally, but it is what it is. All right, enough of that guy. And he's a huge, like, Ronaldo fan, so he's yeah, whatever. Okay, so Argentina, that's technology, and this World Cup is setting records when it comes to technology and its influence on this World Cup, no question. Okay, so here's some things that were said after the game translated. Let's start with Argentina. Lionel Scaloni, the Argentine coach, had a couple of things. He said, the players never stop believing. England are a fantastic team, but we stayed calm and found our moment. This group has an incredible heart. They fight until the end. Well, that's, yeah, no question. And then he said, we're proud to reach another World Cup final. For as tense as his players play, I feel he has a calming hand, Lionel Scaloni. And again, I mentioned earlier, he was attacked by the Argentine press and people for lack of success. And then he figured out a way to build this team around Messi. And okay, so here's what Leo Messi said. He said, we knew one chance could change everything. He said, the team showed character when we went behind. I'm proud of every teammate of mine. Now we recover because we have one more match that remains. Lautaro Martinez, who had the game winner. I always believe I'll get another chance. Ooh, that's a good one. For anybody that's a youth player, you got to believe. You got to make runs and believe the ball's going to be there. I really like that. Lautaro Martinez, I'll always believe I'll get another chance. By the way, he didn't come in the game till the 80th minute. It was all Julian Alvarez up till then. The cross from Leo was perfect. This is Martinez. You see the cross, Brian? It's incredible.
Yeah, no. Some of the crosses he throws into the box are... It looks like the ball is just walked over and handed it to the guy.
So Martinez makes a run between two center backs or two defenders. That cross has to beat the first one, who's 6'2" or more. I think it might have been John Stones. Okay? It's hit hard. and Martinez runs between the two. I mean, it has to be picture perfect to beat the first center back. It is. By the way, it's off his right foot going to his right towards the end line. We all know Messi is mostly on the ball with his left foot. This was off his right foot. This is a 39-year-old guy still playing like he's in his 20s. People said, oh, you're going to Major League Soccer. It's easy there. It might be easy for him. It's not easy physically because it's a very young league. It's a lot of young guys. You're playing in a lot of different conditions. He did have a few muscular issues where he didn't play games, but can't say anything about him. He's the best. He's the best. He does it in the clutch.
Are we sure he's done after this?
Well, I'm not sure he's done, but I mean...
I mean, as far as the next World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4 years from 39. He's 43 years old. I mean, I'm honestly, let me retract that statement because I don't ever want to be the guy who said he might not come back again.
I heard that leading into this, but he's been so good. It's I don't know.
That's a long time away.
It is.
And what your body's going to do till then. So, anyway, this was a magical day. Enzo Fernandez, who I mentioned to you, even in the first half, everybody knows Enzo Fernandez has tremendous power from long range. He's a threat. It's an asset to have a player that out of midfield is willing to shoot, pulls defenses out, makes them think. Sometimes it pulls people out and you can slip others in. It does affect the way a team will defend against you. Well, he hit a blast in the first half with a lot of power. It was off the mark. But I said to myself, well, they're going to have to be careful with him. Second half, you know, I think he scores on the fourth long-range effort he tries, but he keeps getting closer and closer. He has two moments prior where, you know, I'm sitting on my couch. I'm like, guys, you know, you better decide you want to get out there and put pressure on him or the next one's flying in. And lo and behold, you know, everybody could have called this maybe or said it was a possibility, and it goes in, and that's the equalizer. Enzo Fernandez said, we controlled the game even after conceding. We trusted our football. The equalizer gave everyone belief. The power of goals, right? That's the power of goals. All of a sudden, you're running harder. All of a sudden, you're feeling better. But Argentina, it's a late show a lot. They still have it in them, and they don't seem to panic. They've been there before. Christian Romero, the center back, we suffered, but that's who we are. No truer words spoken. We suffered, but that's who we are. Nobody in this squad gives up, Christian Romero also said. We're one step from our dream. Back to back. It's only been done by Italy. And the last time it was done was 1958 and 62, Pelé in Brazil. This will be something special. Champions of South America against the champions of Europe. And rest assured, South American teams want to beat European teams badly, and vice versa. Now, there will be a lot of South America that was not pulling for Argentina because of the way the countries feel about each other on that continent. All right, so let's go to England now. You heard Thomas Tuchel before. He got the question about, I mean, you got to kind of feel for these guys sometimes. Somebody's asking for an overview of the World Cup when you've just left the field in a devastating loss in a semifinal, and somebody's asking you about what's happened prior. I never get that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number to call in. Thomas Tuchel, the result is brutal because we were so close. How much of this do you put on Thomas Tuchel for dropping the team off deep? Would it alter the result? Did it invite Argentina back in? What do you think? 713-780-3776. Why don't we hit Bill on the phone lines here? Let's drop in a call here. Bill.
Hey, Glenn, great show. So, yeah, just I put a lot of it on Thomas Tuchel for going so defensive, you know, so early. You know, you just can't do that, and that's what was proven against Lionel Messi. You know, I think kind of yesterday's game was an example of what you really should do if you're good enough to do it, and that's what Spain did against France in the last 20 minutes. France had very little of the ball in the attacking third because Spain was able to possess, and France had no way of going and disrupting that to get their attacking players on the ball in the box. So that's, to me, going to be the biggest thing about Sunday afternoon. What's going to make it so much fun to watch is, you know, if the game is again in the balance at 60 minutes, what is Argentina able to do? Are they able to control the ball and get all those challenges? Because today, you know, Argentina hit the post, I think, two or three times before they scored. Yeah. And, you know, had a ton of dangerous chances before they ultimately took over.
Yeah, McAllister had a clear header and he put it off the post. That was the one that
won. Yeah, there was a shot off the post as well.
And Pickford came up with a huge save during that phase. I mean, you were just like, okay, it's coming, right? You felt it, right?
Yeah. Every time, obviously, Lionel Messi gets the ball, it has the possibility of exploding, and it did. It's awesome to watch.
Okay, so I like what you said about Spain, but do you think England had the capability of playing higher up the field and being able to control the, you know, possession? I mean, we're talking about Spain here, right?
We are, but you know, once Tuchel made some of those changes that were all defensive in mind, mm-hmm. you know, some of that ability for them to control the ball and take some of Argentina's attack away disappeared.
Yeah. And he made it very clear what he was doing with those changes, no question. Yeah, that was the kiss of death, I believe.
It was. I feel bad for, you know, some of those defenders. Pickford, they played a great game. But I put it on Thomas Tuchel, as you said, just a few minutes earlier.
All right, Bill, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. 713-780-3776. Good phone call there from Bill on England and Argentina. Good connection there, bringing up the Spain game. 713-780-3776. Again, in the next segment, I'm going to give you my feelings about the Spain-Argentina final. We'll do a whole segment on that. 713-780-3776 right now if you want to get in. Okay, here's more from Thomas Tuchel. He said, "We lost control in the closing stages. We have to accept responsibility and improve." So Thomas Tuchel went from being a guy that was going to be revered for what he was doing with England, the massive victory, the inspirational victory in the most difficult of environments and the most one-sided of environments. I'm sorry, it's true. At altitude, at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. And then they turn around. They got to go play in 90 degrees in Miami against Norway, who's the darlings of the tournament. 90 degrees after that. And by the way, with 10 men for a large portion down in Mexico City, they get past Erling Haaland in Norway. Not an easy game. So he's the toast of the town until he decides to defend deep. And that kills him. Harry Kane, "It's incredibly painful. We were minutes away. Small moments decide football at this level. We have to recover for the third place match." Jude Bellingham, "This one hurts. We stopped playing our football. Argentina punished every mistake. We'll learn from it." Anthony Gordon, "Scoring means nothing when you lose. We should have managed the game better. Credit to Argentina. They kept coming." Jordan Pickford, "Conceding late is the worst feeling. Everyone gave everything. Margins are tiny in football." Here's some of the media reaction. This from The Guardian. "Argentina produced another trademark late comeback." Another one from The Guardian. "England became too defensive after taking the lead." Scaloni's substitutions changed the match. "Messi's assist for the winner was decisive. Tuchel's tactical changes comes under heavy scrutiny." Well, there you go. Oh, boy, you really got to feel. By the way, Jordan Pickford had an exceptional tournament and goal for England. I don't think there's Any question about that? All right, next segment, as I mentioned, we'll start to preview the World Cup final. Places you can watch it. Here's where I suggest. Obviously, the Fan Fest keeps going. Senate Avenue Brewing, Jersey Village, 16,000 Dillard. Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center in that part of town, out on I-10. Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe has a monitor in there. You can get the Lamp Shank and sit down and watch it there. Or you can go to Slip Sliders. They got a monitor as well. All right, we're going to take a break. Whew, we got to come down. We've seen some amazing stuff in this World Cup. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Let's start talking about the World Cup final. It's Spain getting set to take on Argentina.
ESPN 97.5. Is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Quanta, Reliant, Rice University, and Visit Sugarland.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the show tonight here. Again, a big thank you to Aramco, Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, Reliant, Quanta, Visit Sugarland, and Rice. We appreciate you. And quick word here for Echoes Live Music. They celebrate global music. There's so many different genres of music down at Echoes. Echoes is on 900 Richmond Avenue near the intersection of Montrose and Richmond, right next to the Shell station. They celebrate global music. The mix is a great one. They've got blues, Brazilian jazz nights, Turkish funk, Arab and Vieb pop, DJs, Greek and Nigerian nights. It's 900 Richmond Avenue near the intersection of Montrose and Richmond. They serve up Greek and Mexican-inspired food and cocktails that reflect Greek and family culture. And you can follow Echoes on Instagram. All right. And a big shout-out, as always, to our great friends at Senate Avenue Brewing. We had a wonderful, wonderful live show there last night. Senate Avenue, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe, Slip Sliders, all places you can catch the World Cup final. Now let's talk about this World Cup final. 90 minutes are going to separate Spain and Argentina from immortality. It's the second world title Spain is chasing. 16 years. If you remember it, 16 years ago in South Africa, they triumphed. Argentina now will try to be one of three teams that have ever won it back-to-back, and it's going to be hard to bet against them, but this is going to be an epic final. They are looking to put a four-star above the Argentine crest. It will be youth against experience. It will be the great possession game against resilience. We've just seen it time and time again from Argentina. It'll be Lamine Yamal against Lionel Messi. The world is waiting for this. This is an amazing final. Now, Spain looks stronger with every round of this tournament. They eased through the group stage. They eliminated Austria. They beat Portugal in that Iberian derby with Marino coming off the bench and scoring the game winner. Then they overcame Belgium. That's a game that I did out in SoFi Stadium with on our broadcast for the world feed. That was in the quarterfinals. And then, well, they produce Spain, their best performance in a 2-0 semifinal victory over France, as we've spoken about on this show repeatedly. They are on the ascent going into the final. Luis de la Fuente believes his team is peaking at the right moment here. Their pressing game has become incredibly coordinated. The repress, that combined with possession and a midfield that dictates games and tempo, has made them, just growing into this tournament, a more dangerous animal, I guess is the way I would put it. And they've conceded only one goal. One goal. And few chances, by the way. So they're going to have to try to do that against Argentina, which is going to be really, really interesting. Now, Argentina's navigation of the tournament, very different. Going into this game with England, I said to myself, wow, these are two teams that clearly have gone through a lot to get to the final from the standpoint of overcoming a lot of things. Late results, late show from Argentina, England having to go to Mexico City, knock out Mexico at altitude, play that game with 10 men. Then they had to turn around and go in 90-degree heat and beat the darlings of the tournament, Norway, in Miami. So lots of challenges. Cape Verde pushed Argentina. Egypt almost stunned them, if not for the three goals in 11 or 12 minutes. Switzerland gave them a push. And then England, like I've said earlier in the show tonight, I think they let them back in this game, but who's to say this wouldn't have happened with Argentina anyway, because their staying power, their mental power to stay in games is pretty incredible, although I think the door was opened quite nicely by England, and they're going to have to deal with that on their own. But they're champions. Let's not forget, Argentina are the champions. There is a reason why they are the champions. And against England, until Enzo Fernandez equalized late, and then Lautaro Martinez completed, you know, the header after, obviously, Lionel Messi. Messi is the GOAT. He's the greatest player all time in Argentina. I don't think there's any question now. And that's with all due respect to the great Diego Maradona. All right, so let's think about this game on Sunday. Spain's going to want those long spells of possession. They're going to want to control the rhythm, stretch Argentina horizontally, create two-on-ones, three versus two, overloads, whatever you want, in and around the penalty area. But Argentina's comfortable with the ball too, let's not forget. And Argentina will defend in a lot of differing ways, but they will definitely defend in a compact nature. And then they can, as we know, explode out into transition. So midfield, like every game almost, is a very important piece to this. And who dominates it? Does Rodri dominate it for Spain and set the tempo there? Argentina, like you saw how aggressive they were in the first half, I think they're going to be highly aggressive when that game starts against Spain. And can Spain move the ball quickly enough to avoid the aggressive pressing with all their great movement and technical ability? Or is Argentina going to, you know, force them to give the ball up? It's something we're going to really keep an eye on. Argentina forcing turnovers and then trying to get behind Spain if Spain's pushing their outside backs forward like Poro. Set pieces always will be important, and both sides, we do know, have looked dangerous in dead ball situations throughout the tournament. So Lamine Yamal continues to play very, very well in this tournament, even though he's not scoring a lot of goals. He is a problem. He is like Messi. He has to be dealt with in a certain way, and he's definitely a concern. Each manager is concerned with the other. Yamal is and Messi both want to get isolated, so they're in one-on-one situations. Their teams are going to try to get the ball to them in those situations, whether in the half spaces. And they're both guys that can play in these really, really tight areas. But again, Rodri, to me, is the most influential holding number six midfielder in international soccer. He's the best. And a lot's going to go through him. So then we go to Messi, 39 years old. He's the GOAT. Greatest of all time, in my opinion. There's no question. It's based on results and everything. I'm a little tired of all the conspiracy. This guy delivers game in and game out. 39 years of age. He's running rings around people in Major League Soccer that are half his age. And he continues game in and game out to decide the biggest matches. You knew it was coming. You felt it. I felt it on my couch watching the game.
He enters the final with 8 goals and 4 assists. And if you're Julian Alvarez or Lautaro Martinez or Enzo Fernandez, you feel very good when he's on the field. And those three guys have also helped to deliver for Argentina. Let's give them a lot of credit. Julian Alvarez, Lautaro Martinez, Enzo Fernandez. So this final is going to carry an amazing historical significance. Spain can become only the 6th nation to win multiple World Cups. They've only got one. Argentina can become the first team since Brazil in 62 to defend successfully a World Cup title. Italy had done it before that way in the early stages of the World Cup. It's also the first World Cup final that's going to feature the reigning European champions against the reigning world champions. So this, I mean, this is as good as it gets. This is a fitting meeting between two of the greatest soccer playing nations on the planet. So it feels more like it's bigger. It just feels bigger. It's generational in a lot of ways. Lionel Messi's final World Cup appearance. Torch is going to maybe be passed on to Lamine Yamal in the next era of football. Spain, again, I think will have more of the possession. But then Argentina will just rely on this experience. They don't get flustered in decisive moments. It's one game. Anything can happen. The unpredictable generally happens. World Cup finals are rarely decided, in my opinion, by simply tactics. It's composure. It's courage. It's a referee's moment. It's an unforgettable moment from a player. And somebody's going to write history on Sunday. It is going to cap off a 48-team World Cup that has been spectacular in so many ways. Whoever doesn't win, well, they're going to be left wondering just how close they got to it. It's Spain versus Argentina Sunday. It's the World Cup final. I hope you have enjoyed these Destination 2026 entries as we've continued on, and we'll recap it again next week. All right, that's going to do it tonight here. A big thank you to Brian McDonald for helping get it all together here tonight. A big, 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 big thank you, and a bigger thank you to all of you who tune in. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, also on YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook, Soccer Matters. Thank you. You guys have been just amazing coming out to the live shows and all these just beautiful, wonderful, exciting comments about how you're enjoying the World Cup, and even the ones that are a little bit personal to me. I really, really appreciate it, and thank you. And it's been a lot of fun. We're not done yet. We're having fun. So that's going to do it tonight for Destination 2026 Houston's countdown to the Cup. Before we go here tonight, I just want to remind you about one thing. We will be back next Tuesday and Wednesday with both our shows, Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm, and then back with Destination 2026 Houston's countdown to the Cup. All right, that does it tonight. If you're looking for a place to watch the World Cup final, Senate Avenue Brewing in Jersey Village, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center, and Slip Sliders and Nico Nico's Greek and American Cafe. They can handle all your catering for the World Cup final on Sunday, but they have monitors also in their restaurants, so don't forget that. All right, good night, everyone.